So good morning, hope you're all well. It's nice to see the few that have turned up today. The last couple of weeks, for those who've been around, I've confused you. That was two songs. I'd Seek Ye First and then O Church Arise together. It's just a little, it's like a little transition between the two. We're trying to be funky. Can you get the thingy-majiggy? So last couple of weeks, we've been going through the church's vision statement. We should all know it very well by now, and it will come up again and again on that bottom right-hand side of, well, my presentations. Mez likes to mix his up a little bit, but it'll be on mine anyway. First week, we looked at the first part of our vision statement, which was glorifying God. And we looked at that is the theme of the Bible. It's the theme of every, should be the theme of every Christian's life, and it should be the focus of every church, the glory of God. And then last week, Mez was very clear in showing us that we are a church that wants to build our lives on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a church, we want to go and preach that to a dying world. So we're going to look at the third bit of our vision statement, which is making disciples. And so can you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel? Chapter 28, and it's found on 1001. We're looking at the last couple of verses of Matthew 28. It's 1001. And it's found, I'm sorry, it's 1001 and it's Matthew 28. Right at the end of Matthew's Gospel. And we'll read God's Word together and then we'll pray and ask for God's help because we need His help. 1001, Matthew 28. Verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. Let's ask for God's help. Loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the service so far this morning. We thank you for the songs that we have sung. We thank you for the prayers that have been prayed. And now we thank you for this time that we can open up your word together. And I just pray for us as a congregation that as we listen to these words, that we would take this great commission that Jesus gives his last disciples and us, his church today, seriously in our lives. We want to be a church that does make disciples of all the nations. And so we pray that by your Spirit, you would help us really capture a vision, the same vision that Jesus had for his disciples, and that we would put it into practice in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as I said last week, we saw clearly that the gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ, and that is the power of salvation for all who believe. And so as a church, we want to be a church that goes out and preaches the gospel to a dying world. So I guess the next question we have to ask is, what next? So if someone responds to the gospel in repentance and faith, what do we do next? Do we just leave them to it? Or is there something more that we are called to as Christians? And the answer in this verse is plainly from Jesus, yes. He commands his disciples to not just preach the gospel, but if you notice in that passage, Jesus commands us to make disciples of all the nations. Now, as I said in my prayer, this verse is famously known by Christian thinkers as the Great Commission, the Great Commission. And this is basically Jesus sending his disciples out before he ascends to be with his Father in heaven. And what Jesus is doing here is he's passing the baton on to his disciples. He's saying, look, I've purchased salvation for you. I've discipled you. So now go and do the same yourselves. This is how my church is going to be built. This is how people are going to hear about me. It's through you. And this is why as a church we have it on our vision statement. Making disciples was the last command that Jesus gave to his disciples. And it's his last words as well to us as a church. And he wants us to take these words very seriously. So before we look at what it means to actually make disciples, we have to answer this question. What does it mean to be a disciple? Because otherwise we don't know what a disciple is, and then we don't know what we're making. So what is a disciple? A disciple is this, simply, is this. A disciple is someone who hears, understands, and obeys Jesus' teachings. Simples, as the meerkat says. Someone who hears, who understands, and obeys Jesus' teachings. And can I suggest that the centerpiece to this is the obedience part? You see, there were many people throughout Jesus' ministry, and there are many people today, who hear his teachings, they understand him, and they even put their faith in him. But then they don't obey him long term. They don't want to submit to his teachings. And so what happens is people put their faith in Jesus Christ, and then they walk away from him when things get tough, or when the Lord asks them to give up something, and they walk away. A true disciple hears his words, understands what Jesus is saying, and then obeys them as well. So if you look at 1 John 2:4, excuse the bouncing that's coming across the screen, I just thought it was a bit funky. It says, whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. So a disciple is not just someone who believes in Jesus, but is going to put their beliefs into action. They hold on to Jesus' teachings during difficult times. They listen to his voice and submit to him. They pick up their cross, they deny themselves, and they follow him. And again, this is one of those things where it's easy to say that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, to come to church and give all the chats, to say a few long Christian words, maybe even to say a few prayers. But it's different being an actual disciple of Jesus and actually following him and obeying his commands day to day in the little decisions and the big ones as well. And the thing is, you know a disciple of Jesus Christ by their fruit. What fruit are they producing in their lives? They're producing the fruit of the Spirit, then you know that they're a disciple. If they're not, then you know that they're not a disciple. And the question we need to ask ourselves before we look at this command is, are we a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do we actually understand who he is? Do we understand the claims that he has over our lives? As we look past, maybe in the last couple of weeks, maybe even last year, have we listened to his commands and actually obeyed them in our lives? And the thing is, if we don't take this command, if we're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we're not going to take this command seriously. We're not going to know what it means. More than that, we're not truly saved unless we are actually a disciple of Jesus Christ. The truth is not in that person who says that they claim to be a follower of Jesus, but yet they don't follow his words. They're a liar. So, a disciple is someone who hears, who understands, and obeys Jesus' words. So what does it mean then to go and make disciples? I just want to look at two things particularly and apply it for us as a church as we go forward this year. So the first thing that it means to make disciples is teaching all that Jesus has commanded. Okay? So notice that Jesus doesn't say, go and make converts. He doesn't say, go and make believers. He doesn't say, go and make new Christians of the nations. He says, go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them all that I have commanded you. So if a disciple is someone who hears, understands, and obeys Jesus' teaching, then a disciple maker teaches these very same words to another believer so that they can hear, understand, and obey Jesus' teachings. And Jesus Christ is the model for this. So if you look at his life, he spent 3 years with 12 disciples. He invested his time in them. He taught them what it meant to follow him, and then he sent them out. This is discipleship through multiplication. You take someone, you invest your time in them, you teach them what Jesus taught, and then you tell them to go and do the same themselves. This is how it's supposed to work. One disciple makes another disciple who makes another disciple. There's supposed to be a logic there. And if you look throughout the New Testament, this is what we see again and again. That the first disciples went out into the world, they preached the gospel, they made disciples, and they sent them out again. When Paul went to a place called Ephesus, he said this after spending some time with them. He said, "Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." Paul was innocent of their blood because he had taught the whole Bible to them. That's everything they needed to know about God's word and what Jesus taught in particular. He didn't share the gospel, then leave them there, but he taught them and taught them and taught them until they understood. Or if you look at Colossians, which Andy read out at the beginning of the service, Paul wrote this: "Him we proclaim, Jesus, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." It's what Paul prayed for. It's what Paul struggled for, to see people becoming mature in Christ. He didn't just preach the gospel and then say, "See you later, guys. Nice to spend some time with you. I'll pray for you." No, he agonized over them. He kicked them up the backside when they were chasing after false doctrine. He encouraged them when they were feeling down and then when they were needed comfort. And he reminded them of Jesus' teaching again and again and again and again. He drilled it home because they kept going off into different directions. He wanted with all his might to see his brothers and sisters fully mature in Christ. And so if we are serious about obeying this command, then we need to teach people Jesus' teachings. And to keep teaching them again and again until they understand what Jesus is all about. And so that they can go and do it themselves. And that's the key. We need to send people out. We're not making disciples so they depend on us for the rest of our lives. We're making disciples so that they go and make disciples. The command is to go, not to stay. Make disciples so that they make disciples so that they make disciples. That's the New Testament pattern. And if you look at it, this is a highly effective plan. So think about this. If you shared the gospel with 1,000 people this year, and you shared it with 1,000 people per year for the next 15, you would end up with 15,000 new believers if they were all genuine conversions. But if you led one person to the Lord every 6 months and then spent the next 6 months discipling that person so that they could reproduce themselves, what do you think would happen? In 1 year, you would have 2 disciples. However, after 16 and a half years, if each continued to reproduce themselves every 6 months, there would be no one left on earth to evangelize. How about that for a good plan? Jesus' method of discipleship would produce 7 billion Christians. Discipleship works. It's the way it's meant to be. I had a little diagram to explain it as well. I know that confuses people. We weren't just meant to preach the gospel to people, but to disciple them. And then not just to disciple them, but to send them out so that they become discipleship makers. Now maybe you're thinking at this point, that sounds good, Andy. But how can I teach others about Christ if I'm just new in my faith? Or how can I teach more others about Christ if I don't know the Bible very well? Well, can I say a couple of things? Firstly, there are plenty of Christians in this church who are willing to tell you more and teach you more about the Bible. If you're feeling like that, ask someone to sit down with you, spend time with you, and explain things and to explain Jesus' teaching all the more to you. This is a community project. We should be all in this together, learning off each other and teaching each other. The New Testament gives us an environment where other believers, older believers, sit down with newer believers and teach them the scriptures. That's the way it's supposed to be. And don't be embarrassed to ask for help. Don't be embarrassed to ask the difficult questions. If you don't ask, then you won't know. And know that you don't have to be an expert to disciple someone else. You don't have to be an expert. All you need to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes into your life and He leads and guides you. And everything that you need to know is in here. The textbook's already written. You don't have to write anything more. You're teaching this. You're reading through this. You learn together. You just have to be willing to obey in your life. If you don't know the Bible that well, teach what you know so far. And then ask some more questions of an older believer and then teach that to the other person. Jesus commands not just one or two people to get involved who maybe have gone to Bible college. That's not what it was like. He asks every believer who is a disciple of Jesus Christ to make disciples. That's everybody can get involved with this. No matter how young or old we are in our faith. And for those of us who are more mature Christians here this morning, can I encourage us, again as a church this year, to be looking out for new Christians and new believers to get alongside and teach? There is a wealth of knowledge in this room. And some of us are just not sharing that with anybody else. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That knowledge that you have is not supposed to be kept to yourself. That knowledge is supposed to be there so that you can teach other believers. If you're looking for someone to disciple, you don't know who to ask, come and speak to me. I've got half a dozen young men and young women who would love to know more about the Bible. They're coming out of our ears here in Nidri. Can I ask us to step up as a church, as a membership, to really get involved with people's lives? You don't have to get involved with everybody. It's maybe one person you can think of, pray for, and get alongside. So firstly, disciple making involves teaching fellow Christians all that Jesus has commanded, not to keep it to ourselves, but to teach and keep teaching what we know. Secondly, making disciples means sharing life together. And Jesus doesn't say this directly in this text, but it's a general principle that we see across the Bible. Discipleship is not just formally teaching people at the front like this, like I'm doing this morning. It's not just about sitting in a room once a month and praying together and reading the Bible. It is that, but it's not all about that. Making disciples is about genuine friendship. It's about love and it's about care for one another as well. We see this across Scripture. So in the Old Testament, Moses said this about God's words. Teach them to your children. Teach about them, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the roads, when you lie down and when you get up. This is not just a Sunday morning thing, it's not just a midweek Bible thing, but Moses is commanding God's people to teach it naturally as part of their everyday life. When you sit at home talking to someone on the phone, or on the internet, or maybe it's your husband, wife or children. Do it when you walk along the roads, as you travel together. Do it when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, do it in every part of our lives. Not just on a Sunday, not just when we meet to pray, but every time we meet with believers, we should be able to talk about God's words and encourage each other as we walk with the Lord. We'll go into the New Testament. Paul said this about his time in Ephesus again. You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul said that he didn't just go to the synagogue, but he went from house to house to teach people. He went to people's homes. He probably ate with them. Had some fizzy juice. I don't think they had it back then. But maybe some grape juice. Non-alcoholic. But what he did is he lived among the people. He spent time with them. He brought them into his everyday life. Or if you look at 1 Thessalonians, it says this, instead we were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you, because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not just the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Paul didn't just share the teachings and then walk off in an unloving manner. No, he loved the people. He shared himself with those he was working with and discipling. And so what I want us to see as a congregation, as a church this morning, is that discipleship is not just about teaching, but it's also about sharing life together where we can. Again, the greatest example of this is Jesus. He spent 3 years with his disciples. That involved teaching formally, but it involved him eating with them. We see that all throughout the New Testament. He was called a glutton because of the amount of food he was eating. He sat down with people. He taught the scriptures. He ate with them. He got to know them. He shared his life with them. The kind of discipleship that the Bible talks about is an all-of-life discipleship. It's walking alongside each other. We grow in Christ. It's loving and caring for one another. I love the little things that this church does for each other in the background. The meals that people cook for each other when they're ill or when people have just had a baby. The visits that happen behind the scenes, the coffees, the social things that go on in the background. This is all part of discipleship. It's not just about sitting and formally reading the Bible, but it's all of life. It's as we sit, it's as we talk, it's as we walk, it's as we do life. This is where discipleship is great, and it really opens up for us. Because I know many of you are thinking right now, I don't have time to disciple others like this, sharing my life. It's right for him to give the advice at the front, the assistant pastor gets paid to do this stuff. I've got a job. I've got a family. How am I going to share my life with someone else? I'll be thinking that as well. But if we take this thought of discipleship, sharing life together, it really opens up for us no matter where we are in our lives. Think of example for how many meals that we eat during the week. Each of us usually has 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. So that's 21 slots where you're sitting down and eating food. And I don't think it's too difficult to invite a new believer or someone we want to get to know better or a friend to join us for 1 meal a week so that we can get to know them. We include people in the everyday things that we're already doing. You have to do more things to be a disciple maker. Just include people in what you're already doing. Maybe we like running or going to the gym or playing football or going to the cinema, or you like knitting or playing chess if you're Mark. Then invite people to come and do these activities with us. You see, discipleship again happens on the road, along the way, including people in everyday activities that we're already doing ourselves. There are lots of opportunities to disciple people if only we'd open up our eyes and have a look around. The question is, as a congregation this year, will we go though and take this command seriously? What Jesus is doing here to his disciples and for us this morning is giving us a green light. He's saying, get out the door and do this. Open your eyes. That word go is an intentional word. It's changing our mindset. It's an active word. It's thinking through how we spend our time. It's thinking through how we spend our lives. It's thinking through who we're spending our time with. But the problem with many of us today is that we're not on go mode, but we're in stop and sit back mode. And I'm not here to make us feel guilty, but what I want us to do is to take this command seriously. This really is about where our hearts are at. You see, we don't want to go into the world and make disciples unless our hearts are in this. We don't want to make time for something unless the Lord has changed our hearts and we really get the gospel. We don't want to make time for making disciples, including people in all of life discipleship, unless the Spirit is at work in our hearts. And I know we've got lots of different personalities in this church. Some of us deeply struggle with people. Some people find other people awkward. Some of us find socializing hard. Some of us just don't like people, full stop. Some of us are ill at the moment and struggle to get out. Some of us are that bit older. But this command from Jesus is for all believers. And how it works out in our lives will be different for each one of us, but we can all put it into practice in different ways. The key is that we need to pray. We need to pray that God would change our hearts. If we're struggling with illness or sickness, then ask God for wisdom in how you can get alongside people. Maybe that's through prayer, maybe through writing a letter, maybe an email from your bed. Ask God to reveal ways that you can get involved in people's lives. If you struggle socially with people, I know many do in this church, then ask God to give you boldness. If you struggle to like spending time with people, then ask God to change your heart and to help you to love people better. Let's ask God to change our attitudes, to come in and have a heart for people, to love people well. At Nidri Community Church, we want to be a church that walks alongside each other in the everyday and teaches God's word. That's the bread and butter of what we are all about. And if each person in this church took and got alongside one person, one other person, then the whole church would be covered in discipleship. Let me challenge you again, if you're not meeting up with anybody, is there one person that you could get alongside, you could invite into your life, that you could pray for and teach the word to? This is the heart of discipleship. This is the heart of what we're about here at Nidri. I know this is exciting stuff. There's nothing better than opening the scriptures with another believer. There's nothing better than seeing a new Christian grasp the truths of the gospel for the first time. There's nothing better than seeing a new believer grow in their knowledge of the scriptures. Nothing better than seeing believers meeting together, sharing life with one another, encouraging each other in their faith. This is exciting stuff. And if the Lord is in our lives and we're taking this command seriously, then this should be the cry of our hearts. This should get us excited. And again, if it's not, then ask the Lord to help you in this. As a church, let me remind us that we need each other. We are a bunch of oddballs when we look around the room. How did we, this church, get together and all the different people that's here? But if we're going to grow in the Lord, if we're going to be a church that honors the Lord, then we need more than just a pat on the back on a Sunday. You see, there's a hostile world out there who hates the gospel. There is an enemy who is at work, prowling around, trying to take people and trip them up. And so we need one another. We need one another to encourage each other when we feel down. We need each other to comfort one another when we're going through suffering. We need people to get alongside us when we're feeling all alone and lonely. We need people to come alongside us and pray for us when we're feeling sick. We need people to come alongside us and point us to Christ when we fall down. We need people to be patient with us and love us when we're being a pain in the backside. We need each other as a church. We need this. So as we go into the new year, as we think about our year ahead, let's take this command seriously again. Let's pray about it. Let's think about how we are putting this into practice. And the promise for each one of us is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is with us as we walk with people. You can imagine these disciples scared witless about going into the world when they were with him. They had to go into some rough places, these disciples. They had unbelievers all around them. But Jesus calms their nerves by saying, I am always with you to the end of the age. These disciples will go into the world with the backing of the Lord Jesus. And without the Lord Jesus, nothing can happen. We need him alongside us. And he is with us today. No matter what we're going through this morning, he is the Lord of the universe who never leaves us, nor does he forsake us. As we go out and take this command seriously as a church, his presence goes with us as he fuels the flame for mission. And this is what we need. So as we hit this new year, let us be a church that has the glory of God as our prime motivation. Let's pray for that. Let's be a church that goes out and wants to preach the gospel to a dying world. And let's make disciples, training, teaching each other as we share life together. And we'll see what the Lord does with us this year. Amen.